Thank you, Danielle. Great to see everybody. I'm just thinking next Saturday, next Sunday, it's going to be like January half over. This year's flying. It's going to be Christmas. So I'm going to tell Jessica and Bethany that because they're already thinking about more presents. I was just laughing at Christmas time. They weren't really that bothered what was inside the present. They just wanted, is there another present? Well, is there another one? And they just kept looking for more presents. So let's just pray for a second. Lord, we just thank you that you are here, Lord. We pray, Lord, we just have enjoyed worshiping you just through song. But I pray, Lord, now that we just continue to worship, Lord, as we listen. We continue to worship as we would receive. Lord, I pray, Lord, we're in the start of a new year, but for us it's a new day each day given by God, ready to seize it, ready to grab it, and ready to go for it like never before. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you're here this morning. We know that you are, and you're here to challenge us, and you're here to uplift us. But Lord, help us to tune into what you're saying and help it to change our hearts. And when change comes, that we receive it through your strength and not just reject it, because it's easy to do that. So Lord, I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, just continue to build, continue to grow us, and continue to allow us to receive this morning your prayer. Precious name. Amen. Amen. So one other thing I forgot to share was that on Monday night we're going to Ross Trevor, which is where the YWAM base is. So if you've never been, Tommy's looking to go. So if you've never been before, then it's where they have this, it's YWAM, which is where Verms was from. He was here last weekend. Youth with a Mission. I started off with an amazing guy. If you ever, great to see you this morning. I want to talk about a couple of things this morning that maybe just encourage us and lift us up. I want to talk about vision, because vision is vital. And without vision, we're just not sure where to go. We're not sure what direction to take. So our vision is really important. Derek's not here. He's downstairs doing kids this morning. But he had to make an important decision yesterday. He said, I'm going to go to Specsavers because I want to make sure that my vision is good. So I don't know how he got on there, but he's not wearing glasses this morning. So maybe it was good, or maybe he's waiting for them. I don't know. But he decided that he wanted to see clearer, or he wanted to just double check if he can see as well as he should. And it's because vision is vital. I mean, we want to be able to see, and we definitely want to be able to see dangers in front of us, obstacles in front of us. We want to see what's there so we can either avoid it, go around it, go over it, so that we can make a decision what way we're going to go. And as a church, it's so important that we have vision. As a body, it's so important that we have vision. And I want to suggest this morning, and maybe even enforce this morning, that the greatest vision that we should have is Jesus, because he is our Lamb that was slain. He is alive. He's not dead. He is resurrected, and he's seated on the throne on high, and he is our vision, and he is our gaze. I thought this morning we can talk about lots of different kind of things. I don't know, New Year's resolutions and all that kind of stuff, and they never last, but Jesus lasts. So I want us to focus on something that's not a cliche. I want us to focus on Jesus, who's a person who's transformed everything. And I had this thought about Jesus. I had this thought about God, is that if we're not careful on a day-to-day basis, we end up bringing Jesus down to our level, or God down to our level, because we're not sure how to fathom him. We're not sure how to understand him. We're not sure how to figure him out. And so to try to do that, we try to... unwittingly, we bring him down to our level, and we go, oh, he's probably just like me, only a tiny bit better. He's like kind of a bit like you, but nothing even close. We were made in his image, but he's just like, whoa, he's just amazing. He's amazing in all of his ways. And there's a psalm I want to read to us this morning, just to try and refix our gaze to, rather than seeing Jesus here, now Jesus is with us and he walks with us, but he's always there. He's always high and lifted up. He is majestic. He is wonderful. And he chooses to come in other forms and in other ways so that we can grab a hold of him, but he's always high and lifted up. And so this morning I want to read Psalm 145 to us and encourage us. It's too long to put on the screen. So if you've got your Bibles, you've got your phones, you can track along or you can read along. And if you haven't, then I encourage you to read it later. But I'm going to read it to you and hopefully encourage you to lift our gaze to see how great our God is. Let's read it this morning. Let's make God huge this morning as we think about this. It says this in Psalm 145, verse 1. If you've got it, let's go. I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. This is David speaking. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. No one can measure his greatness. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majesty, glorious splendor, and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with songs about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. All your works will thank you. Lord, you are faithful and you are victorious. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power. They will tell about your mighty deeds and about the majesty and glory of your reign. For your kingdom is everlasting. You rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious in all he does. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads. The eyes all look around to you in hope. You give them their food as they need it. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hungry and thirst of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. The Lord protects all those who love him, but he destroys the wicked. I will praise the Lord, and may everyone on earth bless his holy name forever and ever. What a set of verses. That's only one chapter in the middle of Psalms, and that's in the middle of the whole Bible, which has got 66 books. And it's speaking about his greatness. It's speaking about his majesty. I mean, there's so much in that. We could feast on that for days. And I encourage you, when you go home, read it again, until we start to lift God from here to up there, and then start to go, wow, he is so worthy, and I'm so unworthy, but thank you, Jesus, that you chose me, because I could never have chosen you. You are so much bigger than me. And the challenge is this, is that in our love today, and in the love that we have for each other, it's almost like we'll let anything go. It's just this, it's just that. We're all this. Jesus is full of justice. He is full of compassion. He is full of love. And he chooses to love us because of his greatness and because of his goodness. And so this morning, let's lift our gaze. Because I believe our gaze is fixed on him and we know the greatness of our God. Who can ever stand against us? We sang it this morning, but when you know the greatness of our God, then nobody else is even close to his size. Nobody is even close to his ability. No one is even close to his splendor, because he is truly majestic. Psalm 145, I encourage you just to continue to meditate on that during this week, maybe thinking about the goodness of God and asking God to reveal more to us. The Lord is this. He is Lord of all the universe. We're still trying to discover what the universe looks like. We're trying to get telescopes. It's so funny. We're trying to get these, you know, cylinder kind of objects with glass in them, and we're trying to look through them to try to see a bit further. And God must look down, and he must just smile. And he goes, I hold all of that in the palm of my hand. Unbelievable, the greatness of our God. Now, God loves our ingenuity, and he loves where we're heading, and he loves the ideas that we have, but he is so vast, and he's so big. And the greater that we make him, the bigger that we make him, maybe the more that we'll feel small, but we counteract that by his wonderful love that says, wow, we are so insignificant, but God chose with all his significance to make us great. He chose to come to raise us up. And so this morning, God holds the whole universe. He is Lord of the whole universe. He knows what's happening on the moon right now, so we don't need to worry. He knows what's happening all around the galaxies. He knows exactly. He's in total control, and he holds it all together. He's in total control, and he holds it all together. There's an old word called he's sovereign. And it's this old word that we don't use that often, because nobody is. Nobody really knows what's going on. No one is really in control of everything. We know more than ever who's in control. Nobody. There's just nobody in control, because we even say now that the elections are rigged because of hackers from Russia or something like that. So nobody is ultimately in control. But our God is sovereign, and he knows all, and he holds all, and he is in control of your life and everybody else's. He is not like us. It's so important to grasp this morning. He is not like us. So how do we understand that? We just try with our best ability, but we surrender all to him because he is not like us. He is so great. But what I'll fix on is this, is that he has called me, that he has chosen me, that he has purposed me, and he pours out his unfailing, unconditional love on me every moment of every day. Even when I'm sleeping, he's just pouring more love into me. Even when I'm not thinking about him, he's pouring more of his grace into my life. If God is not in our vision, it's hard to follow. We're thinking about vision this morning. We're thinking about the greatness of God. But I want us to think that if God is not filling our vision, then what else is filling our vision? Because if we're not focused on where we need to get to, how are we going to get there? And the Lord is like an incredible Father. He's an incredible Son. He's an incredible God. And he's constantly leading us and he's guiding us. And most often, the biggest question that people have in their hearts and have in their lives is, where do I go next? What do I do next? What am I supposed to do over here? What am I supposed to say there? And I want to encourage you to continue to lift your gaze and follow him, because he will lead us into all truth. When we start to lower our gaze, we start to look at everything else. And then we start, should I follow this sign? Should I follow that thing? Shall I go here? Shall I go there? And I want to encourage you this morning. We are simple people that need to do simple things. And sheep are simple. They need to do simple commands. I'm saying just fix your gaze on him and he will lead you. If he is our leader, then let him lead. If he is the one who has called us to follow him, let's follow him, because if he's not in our vision, then it's hard to follow him and other things get in the way. You ever heard about the one where we're trying to get to somewhere and the person says to you, just follow me. And then they just drive like a crazy person and you can never follow them. I do that all the time. I forget that someone's following me. And then Nikki says, you need to slow down because they're following us. I'm like, oh, okay, so we'll have to pull in for a second to get them. And even that is such a simple thing. If we don't keep fixed all of the time on that car, we're going to lose it. We're going to miss it. We're not going to be sure where to go. And then inevitably what we're going to have to do is pull over, phone them and go, where are you? And they're like, I don't know, where are you? And then we go around in circles trying to figure out where everybody is. And God is here this morning. He says, stop worrying about direction. Get focused on me. Stop worrying about where you go to next and start focusing on me. Stop worrying on what you should say, what you should do, where you should go, what you should wear, what you should do. All of those. Stop worrying about all of those things and just focus on me and I will lead you. I will show you and I will guide you. You know the wonderful thing about that? It lifts an awful lot of burdens off us. It lifts an awful lot of anxiety and chaos off our lives, because we know we can't cope and we're struggling and we're trying to hand it off to this person and that person. We're trying to get through just somehow. And God says, cast all your cares on me. Just focus on me. That's all you need to do. Concentrate on the car in front. I'm going to lead you somewhere. I'm going to take you somewhere. And I'll supply all of your needs. So this morning, we're thinking about vision. We're talking about vision. And our vision to realign us to it. Because again, if we don't realign ourselves and refocus on our vision, we can forget where we're trying to get to. I believe these are four of the main things that God is looking for every church to do, and especially our church to do. And that's number one, is to see people saved. We go back to it. In Exodus, it goes back to Exodus, and Moses is there, and God is there, and he speaks to him, and he gives him these four I wills, and he says, I want you to save my people. And I don't think it's changed from back in Exodus until today in 2017. I think we're still the same people on the same earth needing the same thing. We're needing a Savior. And so the number one thing is this, that we're going to call people to salvation, that we're going to constantly see people saved. And 2016 is going to be no different than 2017. We haven't changed. Our method might change, but what we want to achieve hasn't changed. We want to see people saved. We want to see people saved. And I think if we've been saved long enough ourselves and have known God's salvation, we're constantly needing God's grace. We're constantly needing God's salvation again and again and again. And so number one, we want to see people saved. And if we're going to see people saved, we don't want them to be saved and just left where they were. Moses gets a revelation from God and he says, I don't want you to just save the people from Egypt. I want you to get the Egypt out of them. And so we have to deliver. We need to see people delivered. And that only happens through God's grace. And it only happens through God. This is the wonderful thing about God. And it's difficult for people to understand because, again, God's not like us. God says, you don't have to come to me perfect. Come to me just the way that you are, and I will deliver you. I will set you free. If you will focus on me, I will set you free. And that's what God is saying this morning. He's saying, I'm not looking at you to try and tick a whole lot of boxes. I want you to get a reading plan. If you want one, they're out on the notice board. It's a year reading plan. It will help you to get the whole way through the Bible. I couldn't encourage you enough to do that, because imagine you come to 2018. See, here away, it seems strange to even think about 2018 when you start in 2017. What an accomplishment. What a benefit. How incredible would it be if you took one of those and read the Bible in a complete year? Be amazing. Or maybe 2 years. Or because after that, to know the full story, to get a view of the full canvas, would transform our lives, because I want to get a clearer vision of Jesus. I want to get a clearer vision of how great he is. I want him to be high and lifted up, because it transforms everything. And so we're here this morning, we're thinking about vision, we're thinking about salvation, we're thinking about deliverance. Second thing is deliverance. We want to see people set free. And here's the thing about deliverance. I need delivered every day. I need delivered every day from my thoughts, my actions, my intentions, my attitudes. I need it. I need it every day. And I'm saved, and I know God's grace, and I'm going to go to heaven. There's no doubt about that. I'm assured of that. But I know I need delivered every day. I know I'm a work in progress. And each one of us are a work in progress. Now, thankfully, some of us are a better work than others. You know, some of us are moving forward, and we're getting there. But then we mess up again, and we go around in circles. God says, it's okay, because I can handle that. You just keep focused on me, and I will lead you. Keep focused on the car in front. Keep focused where you're trying to get to. We're keeping Jesus in our focus. And then God says, not only do I want to see people saved and delivered, I want to see people redeemed. Now, I love the word redeemed, and all of us should look it up on multiple times, not every day, but multiple times in the year, to remind ourselves just how special the word redeemed is. The word redeemed, and the best way that we can translate it is this, is to buy something back. It's like, I don't know, maybe you went away and you give something to someone to try and get some money for it, and then you went back and you bought it back. Now, all of the time that it was in that other place, it probably wasn't being used for its purpose, because God says this, you can only be used for your full purposes when you're with your master, when you're with your heavenly Father. You can only be a full benefit, you can only be up to your full purpose when you're back with me. And so when you're not with me, it's hard to know your destiny. It's hard to know your purpose. It's hard to know the plans. It's hard to know what's going on. And we talk about this God-shaped hole. I don't know, maybe it's smaller than ever before, because we can fill it with so many things. But I want to assure you that no matter how many things you fill it with, it'll never make sense, because we need to be in God's presence and we need him to be our Father. And so we need to surrender and we need to be redeemed. And the Bible talks about being redeemed, and we are a redeemed people because our Redeemer came and he bought us back. He bought us back. And for us this morning, what does that mean in our lives? It says this, is that God wants to take us back from over here where we weren't fit for purpose, where we weren't fulfilling the plans and purposes that God had for us. And he wants to bring us over here, and he wants to enable us, he wants to provide for us, he wants to encourage us, and he wants you to fulfill every plan and every purpose he's got for you, because you were made for this. You were made uniquely for this. There is nobody else that can fulfill your role. And so God this morning says this, we want to see people saved, we want to see people delivered, but we want to see people redeemed, because there's nothing like seeing someone coming back and getting stuck into what they were called to do, what their very purpose on earth was. When someone finds what they were called to do, when someone steps into that perfect place of where they know this is the place for them, they thrive. They just don't survive. They thrive in everything they do, and they achieve, and they do great things for God, because they're in the place that God has called them. And then finally, we get to this beautiful state of fulfillment. We get to a place of, we want to see people fulfilled, because there's nothing more satisfying than when you achieve something that you know you're called to achieve, and then you achieve it, and you sit back at the end of the day and go, wow, I'm so glad I got that done today. I feel so glad that I achieved that. I feel so overwhelmed. Look at what we got done. I love that feeling. There's nothing better than that. When you set out for a task, you know you can do it. You know you've got the things to do it. You get it done. And at the end of it, you go, oh, I'm so pleased. I'm fulfilled. And God ultimately wants to give people fulfillment. And he ultimately wants to give people satisfaction. One of the saddest things and one of the main reasons that so many people get so down and get so depressed and try to go opposite ways is because they just can't get any fulfillment in the things that they're doing. They cannot get any kind of satisfaction in what they're achieving, because it just doesn't seem to make sense. They feel that we're made for more. And God says this morning, you are made for more. You are made for me, and I am huge. The power of vision. Just to encourage you with the power of vision. Here's the power of vision. So many stories have come back from the battlefields, from war, where a soldier has went off and all they had left them, because you can't really bring anything from home with you, and when they go out in the battlefield, all they bring with them is that small photo of somebody that they really love. Maybe it's a daughter, maybe it's a wife, maybe it's a husband, whatever it could be, but it's like that photo. How many stories have we not heard, or how many films have not been made of the person, and they go to the battlefield, just the most destructive place that you can go to on earth, and the only thing that keeps them striving, the only thing that keeps them holding on, the only thing that keeps them pushing forward is when they can bring that photo out and remind themselves, here's what I'm fighting for. Here's my vision. This is what I'm going to get back to. This is where I want to get to. And God this morning says for us in our lives, it's so important that we have a clear vision of God, because when difficult times come, when trials come, when wars come, when we get disturbed, when we get dismayed, we want to know what we're trying to get back to. I'm trying to get back to my Father. I'm trying to get back to the purposes. I'm trying to get to the plans that God has called me to. I will not get disheartened. I will not get discouraged. The enemy will not defeat me. And there's something that's been built inside of us that makes us incredible survivors when we pin our hopes on something. We are incredible at surviving. You only have to see the stories. You only have to hear of people that just had a single thought of something or a single focus on something, and it wasn't even God, and yet they survived. The drive for survival in us is incredible. Match that up with your focus being on Jesus, and you will be unstoppable for the kingdom of God. This is why it's so important to have a vision and the power of a vision. So let me share just for a few moments of some of the things that we're looking forward to this year. This is just a small kind of headlines of some of the things, and I know there's going to be so much more, both personally for you and collectively as we continue to serve more and more in this church and serve God more. The most up-to-date thing that's coming really soon is Tin House. So that is our coffee shop downstairs. That's what we've been working hard with. We worked hard over Christmas, different days. We had different guys in, girls and guys, I mean, painting, decorating, doing all sorts of things, trying to get things ready. And downstairs, it's not complete yet, but it's already starting to look absolutely fantastic. It's already starting to look great. So we're excited for that. And what does that mean again? Let's just remind ourselves why we're doing this. It's not so we're going to have the best. No, that's not the right way to say it. It's not that we're going to make the most money in our math through coffee. That's not really our goal. But it is our goal to have an excellent place for people to come and to relax and to get away from their day and maybe have a coffee or maybe have a tea and to maybe make some relationships. It's another way for us to reach into our community, because we're thinking about salvation, we're thinking about deliverance, we're thinking about redemption, and we're thinking about fulfillment. And we're thinking this could be another way that people could come to us, because a lot of times people have to come to you for you to be able to share, for you to be able to tell them. Other times we go to them, but then we got to have a place where they come to us as well. So there's multiple different ways for us to connect to people. And I think one of the most exciting things is that downstairs is going to be open from 9-ish or whatever the opening hours are every day to 6. And then we're going to try to open on evenings as well. So there's going to be so many possibilities for people to be able to come, connect, and see what's going on. So why are we doing it? To help more people connect with an incredible God. To help more people connect with an incredible God, because we know that without Jesus, nothing makes sense. But with Jesus, everything is transformed. So Tin House is not long from starting. We are looking for probably one employee. Maybe, hopefully as it grows, we'll look for multiples. So tell me again, would love that job. So if you want to be in for a chance, then you got to fill out the application, obviously. But if you haven't and you would like to fill out that application, there's still a few days left. The guys are going to check them. The drop-in guys are going to start checking them this week. So if you haven't done that, I would encourage you to do that. But pray as well, because we want to make sure that we get the right people in the right places, because this is crucial. It's so much more than just a shop. It's so much more than trying to make some money. We're going to make ends meet, obviously. God's going to bless us that way. We're going to work hard with the things he's given us. But it's so much more than that. It's to be a blessing. It's to be a hub for the community. It's to be a place where people can, again, try and find and connect with God. So Tin House is coming. The other thing is Verms was over, and every time Verms comes, he always tries to talk me into a missions trip. So we're already thinking about missions. We love missions. We went last year to Greece. Exciting news, actually, on Greece is that who we went through dropping, a guy called Nigel Burrows, he is going out to Greece now for a year. Nigel's an incredible guy. I got to spend more time with him over his last few months. If you know him, you should get to know him. He goes, I think, tomorrow. You can connect with him on Facebook and pray for him. He's decided to go to Greece to work with the refugees because his heart is breaking. This is the reason why. Because the news has moved on. The refugees in Greece are not relevant anymore. Not so much. Not for the world news. We've all moved on. And for us, it's hard to know what's the truth, because we just see what's on our TVs and we just go with what the news is there. But he's been on the ground. He knows the families that are in need. He's kind of heartbroken that our country couldn't have taken in more. And so his heart is this, to go out to there, work with the guys, maybe get to make relationship with the families, and then come back home and then come to various different churches and go, hey, I've got 10 really amazing Christian families there. Because remember, a large part of the refugees are Christian, even if that mattered, because they're people. But he says, I'm going to come back to the churches here and I'm going to say, hey, I've set up a program. I've got people on the ground. Would you like to sponsor some of these families? Or would you like to bring them over for 6 months and encourage them? Because he doesn't want to let them go, because people matter to him. And these people have got in his heart. Let me tell you a story about this guy. It's an incredible story. He went to Venezuela in South America for, I think, 7 or 8 years. He handed out 5,000 leaflets or information about Jesus over that time. And he saw, I'm trying to think of the numbers now. I've forgotten the number, but he saw, was it seven? Oh, I've forgotten. I think it was something along the lines of, oh, that was it. He gave out 7,000 leaflets, and he saw 5,000 people make decisions for Jesus over that 8 years that he was there in Venezuela. Unbelievable. And his dream is this, that they're going to see 10,000 people saved there in that city. What an incredible passion. What an incredible desire to go to serve God. Why? Because he got fixed on a vision of Jesus. And he said, I just want to follow him, and he will lead me, and he will guide me. Vision is vital. Vision is important and is powerful. And vision on Jesus is so necessary. So our mission trip, we got sidetracked. That's Greece. We're maybe going to send out some teams there during the year, mini teams to go and help Nigel. If that's something that comes in your heart and you just want to go for 3 or 4 days, Tommy's good for that too, then we are going to help you to go and help you to connect with Nigel out there. The other thing we're going to aim for is South Africa. So we're meant to go a couple of years ago. We didn't get to go. We're going to try to go to South Africa this year as well. Again, we're going to pray about it, seek God, see what way God's going to lead us. But Vern's just trying to sell it hard to me. He goes, we'll go to Zambia. We'll go to Victoria Falls. You'll be able to see this. He's like, oh. I'm like, okay, I'm going. So he's selling it hard, and I'm in already. So if we're going to pray about it. We're going to seek God always. And if God leads us there, that's absolutely where we're going to go to. Because I believe in missions. I know the heart of it. I know how much it changes us. And my dream is this. Let me cast an even bigger vision. My dream is that us in the future, hopefully not the too distant future, is that we'll send multiple teams out during the year and they'll go and be a blessing all around the world. Why? Because for God so loved the world. And God has called us to be people of the world. And there's nothing more exciting when you get into the world and you get challenged with cultures and different issues and different ideas. And you bring them home and you realize that Northern Ireland isn't the center of the universe. We've got loads of issues. And that helped me to change, and that helped me to refocus on the right things. So mission's a big thing this year. Again, hopefully that's going to get on your focus, because if you focus on Jesus, he's going to call you to go. We've got St. Patrick's Day that's coming up immediately in March time. Let's continue to pray for that. It's always a big day for us. We got I Heart Armagh, which we had the team last year from Cleveland. They came over. They were a blessing. Wow, it feels like a lifetime ago, and yet it feels only a few weeks ago since they were here. So I was chatting to Jeff on Skype just a few days ago before Christmas, and he's so excited to come again. So I would encourage you. I think it's the first. We're going to release the dates not really early so that you can be thinking about it. But I'm pretty sure it's the first week of August that works out. I'll confirm the dates. And if you have to put some dates in for work already, get them in for that week, because it's going to be a great week to be a blessing to our community. Part of the vision as well on that is that we went to 4 different areas last summer. Well, then during our outreach, then since that, Halloween, Christmas, we're trying to get back to all 4 areas at different stages. So at Halloween, we went to one of the areas. At Christmas, went to 2 more of the areas. And then hopefully come around before maybe Easter time, we'll get to another one of the areas to complete the 4. So we just continue to work in the ground that God is maybe putting on our hearts, always open for others. But we just keep working on that, keep planting seeds, keep encouraging people, keep inviting. And I feel God saying we're going to plant seeds that are going to last for many years to come. And so what's your vision this year? I mean, we're talking about what our vision could be. We're talking about the vision that God wants us to have. But what's your vision this year? What's your vision? It could be to form better habits in your life. Amazing. It could be to join the gym. A lot of people want to join the gym this year. That's amazing. Go do that. All of those things are great. It could be you're saving for a holiday. You're already saving for a holiday because you're like, I just want to get out of here. So you're saving for a holiday. You've heard the deals are in January. So we're already starting to think about our holiday. Or maybe we're taking it up a notch and we're going to do all of those things, but we're as well saying, I'm seeking God never before. I'm going to seek God this year like never before. I want to give him even more. Maybe we're going to have a fresh focus and a fresh vision this year that I want to become more like Jesus. Maybe that could be it. I'm going to become more like Jesus. If I don't know him, I'm going to get to know Jesus. Maybe this year I'm going to say, I'm going to allow the Lord to work on my heart so I've got greater grace, greater forgiveness, greater love. Maybe I want to deal with some unforgiveness or some bad habits or bad issues that have been in my life, and I want God to nail that sin. And maybe I've decided I'm going to serve harder and serve better this year because God's called me to be a servant and to be a servant for Him. God, this morning, is not just an extra. He's essential in our lives, and He's essential in our vision. And so as I was praying, I had this one kind of term that we talked about just at the beginning. It was like a blurred vision. I thought to myself, you know, there's so many things that we want to do, and either we can't see clearly, or for whatever reason, we're just holding back. For whatever reason, we just can't make it happen. Maybe you've been deciding for a long time, I just want to refocus my life. I want to start to eat healthier. I want to start to join the gym. And you try to do all those things, it just seems to go around in circles. And I was seeking God, and I was talking to God, and I was asking God for wisdom and advice. And I felt like God was saying this. He was saying, when it comes to spiritual things, if we are not hungry for God and we want to get hungry for God, one of the best things that we can do is fast. One of the best things. Now, last Sunday we talked about it. We said we're going to do 4 weeks of fasting, and I'm going to encourage you on this. Maybe you're at a place with God where you just feel stuck and you want to, you know there's just something needs to change. I believe the release, the freedom that you will get from fasting will achieve that. I mean, there's many times when Jesus, when the disciples came to Jesus in the New Testament, they said, Jesus, why could we not heal that person? Why could we not see a breakthrough there? Why could this thing not happen? Why was this thing not changing in me? And Jesus said, because you've got to fast and pray. Pray. There's an extra dimension. There's just something extra that happens when we fast. And so God is here this morning saying this. If you're not hungry for me, the answer is fasting. If you're hungry for more of me, the answer is fasting. If you're needing a breakthrough, significant breakthrough in your life, the answer is fasting. If we're wanting to see something increase in us where we get closer to God, where our passion excels for Him, where just something develops deeper and bigger than ever, it's fasting. And God has called us to fast. Fasting brings focus to our hearts. It brings focus to our eyes, the things that we see, both physically and spiritually. It brings focus to our mind, because focus is so important when we talk about vision. It brings focus to our vision. It just helps us to see clearly. Here's a simple definition of fasting before we get into it too deep. Fasting from food helps us gain spiritual clarity by making a physical sacrifice to focus more on our spiritual health. It's what it is. It's like, God, I want you more than the food that drives me every 2 to 3 hours or whatever it is for you. I want you more than that because I want to feast on God. I want to be hungry for the things of God. And there's a story in the New Testament where is that Jesus, he comes to the well and he meets this woman and he tells her about her husbands. He tells her about the man that she's been with. He tells her all these different stories. And the disciples are like, oh, but we need to get food. They're like, we need to get food. So they're way off getting food. And they come back to Jesus and they're like, Jesus, come on. We've got the food. And he was like, what? He goes, man doesn't live in bread alone. I mean, I'm not so focused on food. I've got food that you don't even know. Right now, I'm eating a food that you don't even know. I'm giving away water that this person will never thirst again. I'm on higher things right now. And it's not that God's saying never eat. That's absolutely not it. The purpose is not to eat. That's not the heart of it. But it's to say, I want to feast more on God. I want to realign my focus. I want to break whatever the things are that's holding my life. And fasting is an essential weapon to break those things. Fasting will release the hunger that we're seeking for Him. It will break the hunger for natural food and will increase the hunger that we should have and want to have for God. And when we look at the New Testament, it was an essential practice for the New Testament church. And it's something that we need to develop more and more into our lifestyle. Fasting is essential practice for all Christians, and I fully believe that. Listen to this. I saw this, just a simple thing as we're getting close to a finish. They questioned 100 people, and they said to them, you know, give us, what did they say? They said, the average Christian most frustrating spiritual problems. That's what they said. They said, tell us what's the most frustrating spiritual problems that you have. And this is what people came out with. They said, inconsistent quiet time. Said, I just want to spend more time with God, but for whatever reason, I'll go for an hour one day, and it's 1 minute the next. And then for the next 2 weeks, it's 2 minutes altogether. And then after that, I'm just like fully into it, and I'm telling everybody that I'm reading loads of books. And then it's gone again. And it's just that inconsistent consistently. Just inconsistent consistently, instead of being consistent consistently. And we're struggling with it, and we're like, oh, what do we do? And that was one of the main ones that people put down. They know that they want to walk closely with God, but they're struggling to do it. Second thing, I don't sense God's presence with me. Second most frustrating problem, spiritual problem that people have in their Christian walk. I just don't sense God's presence all the time. And just like, oh, I know that he's there, but I just don't sense it. I want to assure you that on a regular basis, you want to know the presence of the Lord. So much so that Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us, we're not even going. I want to know that I'm with God. If I'm going to follow God, I got to know that I'm with him. I got to know that I'm following him. If I'm following him, I'm in his presence. I'll not just know it, I'll feel it, I'll sense it. I'll know it in every single way. I'll know it. I don't sense God's presence with me. A big dissatisfaction, a big frustration for Christians. Third thing, I feel like I don't measure up. I just feel like I don't measure up to the standard God's got. I feel like I don't measure up to, and it's frustrating because I'm trying my best and I'm trying to study hard and I'm trying to read hard and I'm trying to get there. But I'm struggling. Fourth thing, I'm not seeing the answers to prayers and miracles. I'm praying and I'm believing, but I'm just not seeing the breakthrough that I read about in the New Testament. I'm not seeing the breakthrough that I read about in the Bible. I'm not seeing the breakthrough that the disciples had, and yet they had no iPhones, no iPads, no internet, no this, no that. They didn't even have the full Bible. I'm just not seeing the breakthrough. I'm not seeing what I should be seeing because I know that God's good and I know there's no lack in his end. So what's going on? And we're frustrated by that. And the last thing that people said, prayer time. I just struggle so much in my prayer time. It's big frustration. Just a massive frustration. I know I got to pray more, and then when the more that I try to do it, the more it becomes legalistic. The more that I want to pray, the more I'm forcing it. What am I supposed to do? Is it supposed to be a discipline? Is it supposed to be a labor of love? What is it supposed to be? And people are just struggling with it. And you know the guy, what the survey said? When you read the Bible, survey said, and the ding comes, is this. Fasting brings that breakthrough. Fasting brings that breakthrough. Because again, there is no lack on his side. The lack is on our side. And God says, when you can start to break some stuff in your life in terms of seeking me instead of this, whenever you can freshly dedicate, whenever you go after it, I want to encourage you to read more. If you want more verses on fasting, let me give it to you. I'm telling you, if you go to the back of your Bible and you look up fasting, you will be surprised how many verses are addressed under fasting. It will surprise you. Because it is such a big spiritual practice of the New Testament church. And if we're frustrated with any of those problems or any other problems that we haven't mentioned this morning in our spiritual walk with God, I want to encourage you, if you're not fasting, that can be an essential thing that we're missing out that can bring the breakthrough and bring what we need. This is what it says in Joel 2, verse 12 to 13. Finally, there's a verse to go on the screen, James. You can flick this one up. It says, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. This is God speaking to his people, and he's speaking exactly the same as he was a couple of thousand years ago. He's speaking exactly the same to us this morning. He's saying, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. We need to come to him with all our heart, and if we're going to return to him with all our heart, it's going to involve this, fasting and weeping and mourning. Because we know we've messed up. Because we know we need breakthrough. Because we know we need God to bring us back and to return us to our first love. Rent your hearts. What does that mean? Rent your heart. It basically just means just tear your heart up for God. Just allow him to just break your heart up so that he can just restore and fill you up, because your heart is being held together by so many sticky tips, by so many plasters, by so many short measures, by so many short terms. And God says, just rent your heart. Just rent it in two before me and watch how I'll not despise a broken and contrite heart, the Bible says in Psalms. Watch how I will repair. Watch how I will go like a master surgeon and I will do what nobody else can do because I am so great. Rent your heart and not your garments. There's no point tearing up our clothes before the Lord. God says this is a heart thing. I want you to fast because it's a heart thing. I want to see breakthrough in your life because of a heart thing. I want to see transformation in my life because of heart. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. What an unbelievable Father that we have. But the key in there is that we got to come to him, not just with weeping and mourning, not just being repentant, not just being sorry, but come with fasting. Come with commitment. Come and fast before the Lord as we pray and see a breakthrough. Fasting is connected to our hunger for God. This is what it says in Matthew 5, 6. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. If we are not hungry for God, we'll never be satisfied. If we're dissatisfied, maybe we're not hungry enough. Maybe we're not feeding the hunger. Maybe we're eating the wrong things. Why about that? Maybe we're eating the wrong things. We know that we're hungry. We know that we're dissatisfied. And we're trying to eat a McDonald's and we're trying to feel like we've had a five-course meal. It's just not going to work. It's just not going to work. And God is saying exactly the same spiritually. We're trying to feast on a tiny bit. There was a thing I read, and I can't remember it now, but it was something along the lines of a story the guy told one time about a $3 meal. And he goes to a restaurant, and he asks for a $3 meal, and he eats it all up, and he goes, I just don't feel satisfied. And the waiter says, well, you asked for a $3 meal. It just doesn't make any sense. If we're going to spend cheap on the food that we're eating, if we're going to spend little on what we're doing with God, then we're never going to get what we want in terms of the breakthrough and the satisfaction that God's calling us to. God's saying, I have a feast set before you in my word, in my presence, just being with me. And if you want to be truly filled and you want to be truly satisfied, get hungry for the right things and then eat the right things. And so God says this morning, do we need breakthrough in our lives? Do we need a breakthrough in our thinking? Do we need a breakthrough in a situation? Do we need a breakthrough in an issue? I want to encourage you, we're going to fast. This is what we're proposing, and I'm going to suggest to you, is that on a Tuesday, call it one, two, three, whatever. It doesn't matter what you call it, it's just about doing it. Tuesday, we're going to do one meal. Wednesdays, we're going to do two meals, and then Thursdays, we're going to do three meals. And what we're going to try to aim to do is this. We're going to dedicate whatever time that we had there to God. And then during the day, we're going to dedicate more time than we normally have, than we normally do, and we're going to continue to feast from God. Because here's the wrong way to do it. I just didn't eat a meal. Aren't I amazing? But what'd you do instead? Because if you're not going to eat, you got to eat something else. And so God is saying this morning, fasting is about replacing what you had over here with this over there. And that's replace it with me. So Tuesday, one meal. If you can't, do one meal. If you only do one meal a day, that's amazing. If you only do one meal out of the 3 days, that's amazing. It's all about the try, and it's all about the heart that we're doing it and the attitude that we're doing it with. Here's the secret about fasting, is that when you do it with the right heart and we do it with the right purpose and when you do it for Jesus, you don't even feel hungry. I'm telling you. Now, if you do feel hungry, don't feel condemned. You're still good. You're still good. But there's something amazing that happens when we do it with the right heart. It's like that hunger disappears. It's like we're not as hungry as we thought. Because a lot of the times, even for ourselves, our mind controls a lot of our hunger pangs. And we're just eating because, that's our time. We always eat then. We always do this. And we just do it anyway. But God is here this morning saying, I want you to see that if you would dedicate Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays to me for the next 4 weeks, watch what God would do in our hearts. Watch the breakthrough that he would bring. Watch how he would satisfy where we don't even know that we need satisfaction. Watch how he would fulfill in areas that we don't even know we need fulfilled. Watch how he would create a hunger in you that you didn't even know was possible, that you didn't even know you could contemplate it, you didn't even know you had the capacity for it. When we fast and pray, it will increase such a hunger in our spirit for the things of God. We'll be like dynamite in the hands of God, and we'll just blow up everywhere we go. So I want to encourage you, let's fast and pray. What is the purpose of it? What's the vision of it? It's to get closer to Jesus. It's just to get a better picture of him. It's to get to know him clear. It's to fix the blurriness. It's to get a clearer image of Jesus because he's the one that I'm following. He's the one that I'm after. So I want to encourage you, Tuesdays one meal, Wednesdays two meals, Thursdays three meals, and let's focus on Jesus. And if you want more info on fasting, then I encourage you, send me a message. I'll be happy to send you loads of stuff. You can read up on it. You can Google it as well. There's absolutely loads. A lot of churches around the world at this time do it just simply because the new year is here. People, it facilitates that kind of idea. So I want to encourage you. You might be thinking of a diet. Let's go to fasting instead. I'm going to encourage you on this. You can do a diet as well. Come on, you can do that too. But let's fast because it's got a higher purpose. It's got a higher point, and it will do something incredible inside of our spirits. And I promise you this, you will not be the same person. If you do it with the right heart and with the right seeking, you will not be the same person as you come out of the fast. So as we fast and during those days, I want you to meditate. Maybe in the mornings you read some scripture. Maybe you don't do that, but I want to encourage you to start to do this. I want you to read the scripture, and then during the day, focus on that. Whenever we're feeling hungry, focus on the things of God. Whenever we should be in mealtimes, let's spend time with God. And I want to promise you this, God will display his glory. God will bring breakthrough in your life. God will fully satisfy, and he will do great things in your heart. We're going to finish off with some worship this morning. We're going to stand, the band's going to come, and we're going to worship the Lord. I want to challenge you with this as we stand and as they get ready. When was the last time you were really hungry? When was the last time you were really hungry? Maybe you're feeling hungry right now and you're like, shut up. But when was the last time you were really hungry? I want to challenge you with this. How many times are we not hungry for food? What is the ratio like for God? And if it's not as high and it's not more, then I want to challenge you to fast, because it will bring breakthrough, and it will bring the breakthrough that we need as Christians. Let's stand together. We're going to pray for just a moment, and then we're going to worship the Lord. Lord, I pray this morning for our hearts, Lord. I pray, Lord, that there is something special when we fast, Lord, and we seek your presence. Fasting is not about eating. It's about seeking God. It's about seeking God. It's about putting down what we always want to do, that natural man, to seek after that spiritual man. It's about saying that we eat on a daily basis three meals, if not more, and yet we don't seem to feel truly satisfied. And yet when we look around at our spiritual practices, we think to ourselves, how many days am I not fasting from spiritual things? Well, now it's the time to fast from natural things so we can feast on spiritual things. Lord, I am not content to be fasting continuously nearly all the time on spiritual things and then just taking a quick spiritual sweet because it gives me a nice wee feeling, and then taking a quick spiritual meal once a month, and I hope that that'll be enough. God, if we are not feasting on you on a regular basis, we can never hope to truly grow in the ways that God, you're calling us to grow. Lord, this morning I pray that this could be a simple practice, but it could release heaven in our hearts. Lord, I pray for encouragement and boldness and commitment to give it a go. But I pray that we do it with the right heart, that we do it out of love. We're not doing this because God says we must. We're doing this because we love him and we want to get to know him more, and we want to see God move more in our hearts and in our lives. So Lord, I pray this morning as we would worship, just bring realignment, Lord. Bring refocus in our vision. Lord, if there's been hurt in our vision, if there's been hurt in terms of the things that we've been seeing, Lord, help us and heal us. Lord, if we don't have that focus, we don't have that purpose, we feel like we don't know where God's calling us to, I want to encourage you this. Just lift your gaze to Jesus. Come to his altar. He is all that we need, and he fully satisfies. Lord, this morning we love you and we worship you. Amen.